interior designers. If you've never heard of the profession or thought they are highly specialized paint advisors, think again. Today we'll be joined by Christy Bremer of Seed Design to look at why an interior designer should be involved in your next project. Green Home Interactive is brought to you by Stone Rocks, high quality stone veneer and faux rock siding. Find out more at stonerocks.ca. This episode of Green Home Interactive is brought to you by Green Home TV and Green Home Power Generation, your online resources covering green building and energy projects from the perspective of practical green solutions. Well, I'd like to introduce Christy Bremer of Seed Design. Welcome, Christy.
Thank you.
Christy is an interior designer that worked with us on our Home Edition project, and we're catching up with Christy just to chat a bit about the role of the interior designer and that kind of thing. So welcome, and let's get right into it.
So the role of an interior designer, I guess in the most basic terms, is a problem solver. We are brought on site typically at the very beginning of a project, and from that stage, we look at the needs and the wishes and the wants of the client and start to create an actual drawing language or a drawing map of what we can do from a feasible point of view to make sure that the wishes and needs and wants of the client are met through the design process.
Okay. Now, just maybe a frame of reference. I know that when we started this process, I wasn't very familiar with an interior designer. I was familiar with an interior decorator, and I was familiar with an architect, and those were kind of two frame of references I had, and I think that's maybe common for most people. So kind of touching base off of those two references, how does the interior designer work within that mix?
Sure. So interior designers are a little bit of both, if you can imagine. Interior designers do the creative aspect, which a lot of interior decorators do. The difference between our role and perhaps a decorator is that we also have the legal ability to do technical solutions, which would be building code driven requirements from Ontario.
Okay.
So we would be able to do actual architectural drawings that meet the health and safety and accessibility requirements that the province of Ontario has set out. But we are governed to a maximum square footage of 6,000 square feet and up to three stories. And after that, an architect is required to be involved in the project. But architects have a very specific focus, typically on the exterior and structure components of the building. And I think interior designers really look at how humans behave within these spaces, so there's more of a psychology when we do the approach, so that it actually is a space that is really centered around how people live, work, and play within their spaces.
I know that when we chatted in the past, you mentioned the idea that oftentimes an interior decorator is looking at, you know, colors, paint, that kind of stuff, where you're looking at that, but a lot more you're looking behind the wall and into the structure.
That's right, yeah. We would be looking not only at the aesthetic requirements, but also at the structure, how it's being built, how we're going to technically deconstruct something or construct an object to fulfill the design requirement.
So then just to take what you said a little earlier further, I'm understanding then that you're able to do all the plans and so forth for most residential applications. So in a lot of cases, an interior designer could do those building plans and so forth and not necessarily need to get an architect involved.
That's right, and especially for residential structures, because they do meet a specific criteria in the code, which we are licensed to do. But for permit drawings, you also, interior designers quite often have a building code exam process that we've written with the province of Ontario, which allow us to submit those drawings.
So you're mentioning oftentimes in the first phases of a project, a client may have you come in and start looking at the project from a very holistic point of view.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I mean, that is the best design, regardless of your project team. If you can have a very integrated approach of the design and structure and mechanics, then you're going to have a really great operating system, whether it's a house or a building. So the holistic approach is something that you always want to look at from a whole system point of view.
Okay. Now, I know that you come at things from a sustainable interior design point of view, so maybe you can talk a bit about that. What do you see as kind of the sustainable side of the equation?
Well, I think that the principles of sustainability or environment are really closely aligned with just really smart design decisions, because a sustainable approach is usually materials that have strong durability, are local in nature, so they withstand local environments in terms of weather. They're healthier for your family in terms of the off-gassing. And that's just good design, because those products last over the test of time. You're not ripping them out because you're not withstanding the maintenance, or because people are getting sick in the buildings that they're put in, like flooring or carpet or paint.
So, you know, kind of good design is by its very nature sustainable design, and vice versa.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it's something that you do outside of our, if you're doing good design that think of as a common sense approach, it likely has very strong roots in sustainability. And that's what I always try to tell people when they talk about sustainability, because they sort of think, oh, environment, sustainability, it's a really expensive or really complicated thing. And it's actually not. It's actually fairly straightforward. It just means that you really do need to look at your house or your building as a whole unit, a whole structure, and sort of identify the best decisions that you can from a long-term investment.
So have you been seeing a shift as you've been in the industry for a while? Have you kind of seen a shift then in some parts of the design to maybe account for more sustainable practices?
Yeah, I think that the big change that has happened over the last decade has really come from the manufacturers of products. So most of the manufacturers that are in Canada and the U.S. and of course Europe are very keen to share their sustainable elements of their product, and also typically as a company they have very public environmental stewardship campaigns, and they like to share those with the people that are specifying or purchasing their products. And that has been a very big shift in our industry over the last 10 years. And before, you couldn't really find that information, or people weren't aware. These companies were doing some of these, what I would call public good works already, but they weren't necessarily seeing the value at that time with sharing with the public. And now they understand that the public wants to know, you know, the environmental footprint that the particular product that they're putting in their home, that it's coming from a local source, that it's not creating a completely negative impact in the environment in which they're being extracted.
Proudly made in Canada, Stone Rocks brings beauty and elegance to the exterior or interior finishes of any new building or renovation project. Simple and affordable, Stone Rocks creates a distinctive look for an installation that will last the life of the house. With green features that include recycled content, local manufacturing, and lifetime quality, Green Home TV chose Stone Rocks for the Home Edition project, and we believe you should too. Check them out at stonerocks.ca. I know when we worked together in doing the project we were doing, what we found, what you brought to the mix was just looking down the road, you know, whether it was the plumbing or a lot of those topics that we just hadn't simply thought about yet. How does, you know, these different elements integrate together?
Mm-hmm.
I know for all of us, a mind-expanding process.
It is undertaking a house is a huge task. Specifically in your project, you had a really interesting dynamic because you had multi-generations within this one house, and I think that provided unique opportunities to really think outside the box for the future and unique solutions that not only met the criteria of being accessible, but also being, you know, really well designed.
Mm-hmm. So that's what you're bringing to your customers and your clients. You're also on the educational side of the industry. You teach at Georgian College.
Yes, I do. At Georgian College, I typically teach second and third year students. And within those programs, we have for each year of our program, we have a mandatory requirement for a sustainable approach for all of our interior design students. So that is something that's new in the industry. Because that is one of the first colleges that actually mandate that as part of every year for education. And my specific role is educating the students within the building code. I teach second and third year building code courses, and I also teach a programming for their thesis, which is a project that they do within the province of Ontario, and detailing, drawing and detailing.
And I guess kind of having your foot in both the practical industry as well as the academic, you're getting a really good read of where the industry as a whole is going.
Yeah, we have a really energetic and dynamic group of students every year, which are extremely creative. And the big change that we have seen over the last few years has been the role of technology, not only within the classroom, but also in the field. And the students, of course, are much more quick and keen to embrace the technology components, whereas, you know, the rest of us are sort of catching up. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, that for me has been a win-win because I learn a lot from them through that experience. But it is great because they are 100% in their projects integrating new technology, which meets a sustainable requirement just because there's a lot of monitoring that happens within their spaces of how, you know, daylight is working with electrical systems and how water is being monitored. And so I think that that's a very important aspect of our interior design is that we learn through changing technologies. And I think the youth that are coming through are an advantage.
Okay. So just to talk a bit more about this distinction then between kind of decorators and designers, you mentioned the legal aspect to this, the building code side. One of the other main differences that kind of ties in with this is that an interior designer is a registered profession.
Yeah, it is a registered profession. It actually is going through the process of the Titles Act through the government of Ontario. But I think the big aspect of interior design is that as a profession, we have a requirement of education. We have to go through examination processes in order to maintain our credentials as a active interior designer. And part of that examination and education process focuses on protecting and enhancing the health and life safety of the public, whether that's in residential structures or in commercial structures.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a big difference between us and decorators. We have this continuing education requirement, but we also have a continuing examination that we have to do through ERIDO, which is our governing body of Association of Registered Interior Designers of Ontario, and also through other Ontario examinations, like the BC Iron.
Sure. And in contrast to that, a person that was going to be a decorator really doesn't, there's no legal requirements for that. Somebody could just set up shop as a decorator and do their thing.
Yeah, there is no legal requirement. There is an education process, though. So interior decorators typically do go through an education process of 1 to 2 year program, and they do have an association that governs them, which is called SEDECA. They do have the organization as a group, but they don't have any strict criteria. They don't have any examination process specific to being a member.
Right. So then for a person that is building their home, I guess I just want to touch base on where it's suitable for a person to bring in an interior designer. Like what kind of scale? Are we talking about a person that's going to do a home renovation or build a new house, or just kind of touch base on the average person that's looking at doing some kind of home project and where they'd bring in a designer?
I mean, obviously my perspective is that if you are doing any renovating in your home, whether that's structural or non-structural, or small or large, you should have an interior designer because they are typically the ones that will create the map, the path, to make sure that you have a cohesive approach to your space, whether you're doing a bathroom renovation or whether you're doing addition or a whole new structure that ties into the rest of your structure. And also by having this map or this plan, you actually save money because you have something that's paper, you've thought this process through, you're not going to be doing changes during the construction process, which always adds to your construction fee. The people who are doing the work have a very strong set of drawings, so when you go through the budget part of your project, you know exactly what things are going to cost. There shouldn't be any real surprises because you've gone through a thorough examination. Mm-hmm. In the beginning. So I always say to people, if you want to make any investment, it makes sense that you bring somebody on board. The smaller the project, obviously, the smaller the financial investment of bringing interior designer in, but it's just nice to have somebody who has that experience and can maybe identify some troubleshooting that might happen further down in the process.
Because I think most people, when they're looking at, the professions they're going to bring into a project, a designer may not be one of them. People are looking to keep their costs on budget. Your point is that bringing in a designer could very well save them money in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, I have seen that a lot in my experience, and sometimes I've been brought in after the fact because there have been problems or communication challenges. And sometimes interior designers play that role of being the communication bridge between the client and the contractor, because we speak the same language as the client in terms of what they're looking for aesthetically, and we understand the technical side, so that's sort of speaking the same language as the contractor. And because we have a building science background, we can sometimes come up with solutions from a construction point of view that maybe weren't thought about in the beginning, and that might provide some cost savings.
So almost kind of a, not a mediator kind of role, but an interpretation between the homeowner and the contractor.
That's right. You're like the person who can speak both languages. Because sometimes in the technical world, contractors speak very technically, and so a client doesn't know what those terms mean. So quite often, interior designer, part of our process is to educate the client. So we're explaining what different terminology means and how things are priced by the square foot or by the linear foot or by the package. And so quite often we're educating the client through the construction process as well.
Okay, Christy, that's a really good kind of overview then of the interior designer's role. Certainly you're open to people contacting yourself that have projects. How would people get a hold of you?
So they can reach me via my website, which is www.cn2design.com.
Okay.
Or you can call me at my contact information, I guess, is there by phone.
Sure. And we'll have that information in the notes related to this episode. Thank you, Christy, for kind of bringing us up to speed. And as I say, I know within our project, your role is invaluable, and I know others will find that too.
Great. Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Get involved with Green Home Interactive through our Interact page at greenhomeinteractive.com. Your feedback and questions could be part of an upcoming episode. Until next time, thanks for joining us here at Green Home Interactive.